You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Kim, there's two things that are going through my mind right now. The sacrifice of Isaac, the would-be sacrifice of Isaac, and the sacrifice of Jesus. And the one thing that keeps coming back to my mind is that at the sacrifice of Jesus, the glory of God was at its highest. As he was suffering on the cross, the glory of God was at its highest. And I believe that the Lord is inviting us right now to come into a place where we're willing to suffer with the body of Christ. I don't begin to understand that or know what that looks like, but I sense it's an invitation, even this morning, to come into that place and not be afraid to suffer. Because Jesus glorified the Father the most as he was suffering on the cross. And our world is in need of people who are willing to suffer so they can see the glory, the real glory of God. The real glory. I'm talking about our coworkers, our family members. Sometimes I think it's the smile that I put on my face, but I believe it's the times of suffering that people see us going through and how we handle the presence of God in the midst of suffering where they really see the glory of God. And it's my desire that would only increase.
Father, I just praise you for this worship this morning and thank you, Lord, that you're opening our eyes to see who you really are in deeper places. Thank you for your great love, your amazing love, Lord, that carries us through all things, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are expressing yourself day and night, night and day to us. And Lord, we're allowing by your Spirit incense to rise, our love, our devotion, our prayers, our adoration for you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're connecting the dots, that you're showing us, well, who you are and what you're doing here and abroad, around the world, and right here in Stark County, right here in this area, in this region, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the joy set before you. Jesus, you endured the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the great power at work inside of each one of us who know you. Thank you for your love, which is the greatest power. But thank you, Lord, that words that we speak alone are not enough, and that you're showing us that your action was always followed up by any word. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we thank you, Father, for great faith rising, great faith overcoming fear. Great faith, just completely circumventing anything that would hinder us, would tether us to the fear of anything other than the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Thank you for that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us understand, giving us revelation, giving us wisdom, giving us spiritual knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All we can do is praise you and thank you, Lord, because without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing. Thank you, Father, that you pull us out of our funk. Thank you, Father, that you rescue us from the traps of the very things that we think we're trying to do ourselves, calling it you, but it's not. Thank you, Father, we're relying on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are stable in you. We are steady in you. We are strong in you. Because without you, there is no hope. So thank you that hope is arising this morning. Thank you, Father. You say, let hope arise. So, Father, let your love arise and enemies be scattered. Thank you, Lord, for the scattering today and the hope and the love arising today. You're so good, Lord. Thank you. We praise you this morning, Lord. As we focus on you, not what's going on, not even pain, but on you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of laying down our lives and repenting before you so that we can believe. Thank you, Lord, for the alignment for our mind, our will, our emotions, for all trauma, Lord, that any of us have experienced. You're totally aware, totally aware. So we thank you, Father. There's always a way of escape. Let it be your way. Let it be your timing and process, not what man thinks because of fear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Be encouraged today. I'm very encouraged today. I have something to share with you that will bless all of us and encourage us, I believe. Sometimes we have to receive words from abroad to encourage and strengthen us because there aren't a lot of places and people who exercise the full boldness in the way that he wants, you know, here in America at times. And he's calling us. And he's calling us, yes, to go abroad and be missionaries abroad, but also gain from when we do go abroad and allow us, our eyes and our hearts, to completely connect with the God of breakthrough, with the God of amazing, thunderous activity that comes when people are 100% sold out and refuse to speak of anything first other than Jesus. Let me read this to you. As I read it to you, I think we're trying to find in the back the flyer for Fire and Incense, which began last night at midnight, which is our 24/7 week of worship and prayer. And I always smile when we come up with a name, something, let's call it something, because it's intended to bring a great fire, to release fire, because our God's all-consuming fire. And our incense would be our prayers that are lifted up to the Lord. And I smile at these names and say yes and amen, because they're statements of declaration and truth that we say, Lord, this is who you are. You are fire. You are incense. And so we gather together. So last night at midnight, Carly and Selah started us out at midnight. And thank you so much. And some of you came in after that. So we're trying to take at least for the frontline folks here, because it's opened up to the community, as always. And we're trying to get that word out to the community, as always. But from 12 to 6 in the morning, we'd love to just know that there is coverage here in the spirit. And we know the angels protect us here, so that's not the reason. This is for spiritual coverage. And so if we're assuming somebody else is doing that, sometimes that isn't the case. So thank you for signing up for that, for those of you who said yes to that in those dark hours where the enemy is extremely active and our prayers of hope and our prayers of life are strong. So anyway, I got this from Inez, and I think we're putting, there's fire and incense, and you can bring it down so they can see the rest of the flyer. There it is. Okay, so you can see the schedule. So worship, we view worship here. It'd be great if we had minstrels day and night, 24/7. We don't. So praise the Lord for what we do have. So we have our worship music going the entire week. So that's 7 days. It's 24 hours a day all the way through till next Saturday night at midnight. So please come out and please bring your children. Please bring your families and dance and sing and worship the Lord here. And please go to the tables in the back for additional suggestions and help. Just really appreciate that. Appreciate, Carly, what you've done to put everything together. And there's a little bit of a shift here. So Ashley Miller is going to join Carly in overseeing the House of Prayer in this season. And we want to thank Jordan and also Brenda for what you have done in this season. Thank you so much. We bless you. I don't see you. But thank you so much, Brenda, wherever you are. Jordan's out running somewhere. But God bless you. And there'll be other things that there'll be things that they're doing and involved in still, but this is a little bit of a shift. So thank you, Ashley, for jumping into that and overseeing that. So we do have tables in the back, and Carly's still adding to things, and we're putting pictures and comments and quotes and different things so that we can be on the same page. So Just before I get my little phone up here. 1 second, again. Okay. I was talking to Inez yesterday, who is our director of Frontline Brazil, for those of you who don't know that. And she has been so close in mentoring the young adults who are still in the favelas there and right outside, and they're growing exponentially. And she's reminding them of words that have been spoken over them, promises, scriptures, prophetic encounters that they've had even many years ago when they were a lot younger. So today, you know, they're the youngest one, I think, is maybe 13. The next one is 16, and then they go up from there. So there have been extremely strong prophetic words over them for them to be carrying the gospel of the kingdom powerfully in Brazil and outside of Brazil, however that looks. Jo Kabeji is graduating from law school right now this year. She's coming for the fifth time to Mozambique with us. Amanda is coming for the third time. Amanda works for Inez during the day and is working with her for Bendisale, which is the pajama business that has biblical characters on it and many other things that go along with that to spread all through Brazil and other nations, many other uses, not just pajamas, but there's cups and paper things for parties and different things. But this was a vision God gave to Inez, a dream and a vision, and she has been anointed for that and is carrying that, which is really powerful and strong. So Amanda works for her. But all of these guys who are also still in school, they are extremely active in Cidade de Deus, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and also in Heliopolis. And that's Pastor Jerseo's ministry, Casa de Jesus, and we work with them. And we have a worship center there, as most of you know. And so we have three buildings that we've purchased that now are under one roof, and they're building the second story right now, which is housing, going to house Bendisale, which is going to bring jobs and work into the community. And the women and others there will be sewing and making these products on the second floor, as well as having a place on the side for continual worship and prayer. And then if we go up beyond that, you know, God is good. We'll see. And our goal is to eventually purchase all the buildings down that one alley. And Pastor Jerseo is, you know, about 10 feet across from us in Iris Global Casa de Jesus, and he's planning on doing the same. So we're in synergy with him again. And every time I stop, my phone closes out, so hopefully it will stay here. But she was so excited yesterday. I want to tell you about this. And if we just took the rest of the time talking about the wonderful things God is doing overseas, we would never get to the powerful message Pastor Bill has. But I'm going to tell you this today, because I think you'll be encouraged. I asked her just to write it out, so I'm reading it here, and hopefully I can get through this. But the Lord is showing up in power. The Lord is showing up in glory, and he's apprehending these young adults and Inez really strongly. Even when they start moving sideways, they start going to the left or to the right. And Troy, if there's anything up here that's not current, I just asked Angie to put some things up. So if there's anything else that needs to be up there, if your eyes can see that and add to it. I don't know what they are, what pictures are there. But I just wanted to tell you that some of the kids are struggling. Some of the kids have been struggling. Some of the kids have been severely abused. With all the little people in here, I'm not going to say how they've been abused, but just imagine the worst of the abuse. You know what that is, right? And they've been abused. And so that they've gone through that. That's been their story. But we're watching the Lord rescue them from their story. And it's really powerful, and putting them in a place where they're experiencing his glory and they're wanting to share the gospel everywhere. And this is amazing. A couple of them are, you know, a little bit hesitant at times, and the Lord draws them back in, and they get right back in the place where the Lord is allowing them to experience him in heaven with dreams and visions, and he's healing them and restoring them as they're serving. And Inez is really strong in the area of no nonsense, let's all get together and repent before the Lord so we can believe, and instead of the other way around. And she loves them and takes care of them and mentors them. And many of them spend the night at her house on the weekends, on Friday and Saturday night. It's very cool what she's doing. So let me just read to you what she said that will so encourage you, but I wanted to give you a little bit of background here. She said, last weekend, PMP suggested I listen to Josh's message. She said it would help me with the kids. I did it, and I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to share it today. So I did. Before I started, I asked the group if they had done the exercise I asked them to do last weekend, to try this week to do something to get closer to God, more time in His presence, more prayer time. Okay, she's very bold. She's not stepping back and saying, if you don't want to hear, okay. She's bold with Jesus, and the Lord's honoring that, honoring her boldness. She said, Janiel said he remembered PMP telling him to declare that he belonged 100% to God, to the Holy Spirit. He does that every day now when he wakes up, and it makes a difference. Hyla spends more time in God's presence, and the Lord spoke to her about repentance, and she's been asking him to remind her to repent every day. Jokabeji wakes up half hour earlier during the week to be in God's presence, and her week has been much better. She does that all the time. And I also got a WhatsApp from her saying, oh, we heard all about the message that Josh gave. So wonderful. Praise the Lord. So again, another indication that what's happening here, and they're listening to our podcast. They're listening to Pastor Bill's and my podcast, or messages too, and others. It's crazy. So I'm telling you that God is touching the nations through what we're doing here. And she says, Robinson later said, when I was speaking about stepping into God's presence, he says, as they are going to other countries, they should be learning English. They've been pushing that. He said that this week he accessed Frontline's website and watched a video with me, PMP, Joe, and Amanda, which I have no idea what that is. And then he was very happy because he understood most of it. So she said to him, you did something to get closer to God. You did something. You spent some time looking at the FMI page, and the Lord likes that. After I shared Josh's message, I said to them, let's spend time in the Lord's presence to present ourselves, to repent, to receive His love. We put worship music on, and all of us were deeply touched by His presence. I asked everyone to bend their knees and put their faces down to repent. This is crazy, crazy good. The room was filled up with His presence. During this time, I said a few things that I was seeing. One of them was that the Lord was putting a purple mantle over all of us. Also, while a worship song was playing, and the lyrics said, we should be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I remembered Heidi's video about what was happening in Mozambique, which she got from our website too. And I started to pray for them. As I started to pray for Mozambique, Janiel was having a vision of an armor sword of diamonds over him. And Jesus said to him, pick up the sword. He did, and his spirit was drawn to Mozambique. And he swung the sword, and when he did it, the fire that was on it went to Mozambique, and the fire in the water that Janiel was walking on was going behind the fire to Mozambique. At the same time, Janiel was saying these words. At the same time he was saying these words, I, Inez, saw a tear coming down from the Lord's eye and falling over Mozambique. I also said there is an invisible stairway, a connection between our worship center, our frontline worship center here, and the throne room. I said this before, and I repeated it again today, and that there were angels coming up and going up and down and up and down. I also said to Robinson to stop worrying about his health, that his hands were anointed to pray for the sick and go do this, and that his healing would materialize from heaven. I asked him if that was true, and he said yes, and I told him to go out and start praying for people who need to be healed and not be thinking about this. Then I asked each one to share what they felt after their visions and pictures. Jokabeji said, I saw a ball that was moving, and the Lord told her it was His glory and that she was inside of it, that her life was inside of it. that the ball was moving towards the others and all of us were inside of it. Jochebedje said that when I was saying about the purple mantle covering us, she was also seeing inside the ball a few colors, but purple was highlighted. Amanda also felt God's glory. Hyla felt fire in her feet. She also saw herself preaching to many black people. Robinson saw the stairs in the spirit I was talking about. And up at the top, he saw clouds coming up, and he saw gold streets, and he saw the throne room. He saw himself, seated next to Jesus, like in a father-son relationship. Jesus was stroking him with love. Janyel felt a heating on his back, and he saw two balls, one dark, and then the other one had God's glory. The dark one was going away, and the one with God's glory was getting closer. And there was a voice coming from inside the ball saying, "No more lies, no more sins, only my truth, my forgiveness." The ball with God's glory exploded, and his glory came all over us, and we were all taken to a secret place. And I saw myself coming out of a dark room walking over water, and Jesus said to me, "Even if you did not come out of there, the dark room, Jesus would destroy everything to get you out of there." Jesus said to me to look back, and he said, "You are walking over water. See, take it to the worship center. Even if you fall into the water and drown, it wouldn't be for you to die, but for you to be drowned in my presence." And then I saw Jesus putting holy oil around us. This is Inez, I believe. And there was a furnace, and Jesus threw oil in it, and it was ignited with his glory. And Jesus picked up a sword from the furnace and was covered with fire. He put this sword inside my body. Maybe this is Janyel. Inside my body, and Jesus said that on the tip of the sword was my desires that would be removed. This is the bad desires, would be removed. And on the other end, it was Jesus, and he will put that inside of me. Then Janyel saw the diamond armor when I was praying for Mozambique, and the rest of the vision they saw. And Danielle said that he had pain in his back when he arrived, but it had gone. Glory to God. So that came late last night. And she had been telling me this, and I said, "Just put it on paper. Because there was such an outpouring last night. What she doesn't know fully is there's also a great big boom, you know, against any of that happening in another front. And so the Lord's glory is superseding the pain, superseding the contention against this happening. The Lord is saying, "I'm in charge, but you be bold. You proclaim me. You don't go man's way. Go my way, and I will do it because I am faithful." So that power that resides in anyone who really knows Holy Spirit is beginning to rise. And then what happened was, in this little small group, and we had really powerful prayer last night, that the weaker vessels, the weaker ones, were brought in, because the ones who knew the truth were not letting the weaker ones lead. The ones who knew the truth, who were carrying the truth of the Spirit, were stepping out, holding them and encouraging them and challenging them, and things started to change. So the weaknesses that others were feeling were being touched by the Spirit of God, because people were saying, no, Jesus first, my way first. And we're seeing these children getting healed of these terrible traumas that I'm not speaking about here from the past. The Lord's doing it, but he's doing it through their focus on him and actually using the Word of God and the power and the presence of God to do it in a way that's staggering right now. So we're really encouraged about that. So you can pray for that when you go back to the tables. More will be coming out. Ashley's going to add her voice too. We're going to have videos, DVDs for the children from Torchbearers that we don't have today. So they'll be able to watch those, listen to those. So you can bring kids and they'll have something to do as well as other things at the table. So we're encouraging that. And then this Tuesday, we're having a group called the Prayer Gathering, and that's from 7 to 8 here, and then 8 to 9 we'll be here with full worship. And we're praying that those in the prayer gathering this time will stay and worship with us. It typically doesn't happen that too many do that, but we're asking God for that today, for this week. And then Friday night, we from 6:30 to 9:30, is that's the right time. We have Gateway, Akron, and Frontline. Those are our two groups, praise the Lord, each an hour and a half. And we're going to worship the Lord, and it will be the night before we close this down. We are expecting great and mighty things this week. We really are. This is something new. We just sensed, yes, Lord, we've had these tables. We've done this before. And yeah, okay, I'll try to come. But there's something different. Pastor Bill was praying at National Day of Prayer on Thursday. He was one of the speakers and prayers. And he also sang the song about infanticide and abortion, and addressed infanticide as well. I don't know the name of the song, honey. It's called The Silenced Voice, and he wrote that. And he released that over our county. And so this was really powerful, and people have been asking him for that, to be able to do something with that in prayer groups and different things. So I really believe there's a shift going on, and the Lord is saying to us, who do you serve? Who is your first love? Who will you allow to come in and open the prison doors and set the captives free? And so we have to be very mindful in this season that we are not taking on anything, any thinking that is not Jesus first in anything that we're doing. It's very important, because the Lord will back us up when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his ways, and he will lead us into all truth. So, Father, we just thank you this morning for anyone who might be struggling, that they would be encouraged by these visions, by your presence, by your power, showing up when people gather, showing up when people put you first, showing up when worship and prayer and biblical teaching is desired, showing up when people will repent, showing up when people will say, your way, not mine, showing up, God. Let us all be encouraged this morning. Thank you for this beautiful body of family believers we have here. Let everyone be strengthened and encouraged today as we go forth this beautiful fire and incense week. Let it be, Lord. Let it be that we fast. Let it be that we pray in our homes. Let it be that we pray in tongues a lot. Let it be that there would be so much momentum that has come, not just from this testimony, but also from being in Southeast Asia, being in India, and all the things that have been going on in other states since we left. Very powerful things, where Jesus is coming in and literally shaking the ground that literally can be felt by his power. Let it be that that power comes to us and to our families and to our areas of concern. Lord, let it be that the very power that raised Jesus from the dead would belong to us, be our portion, and we would resonate with that. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be that fear of man will not overtake us, and fear of man will not allow us to compromise anymore. That we will take and stand on your word, and we will allow you to release our minds, our wills, our emotions, and our bodies of anything that plagues us, God. And we will then truly understand more and more about suffering and persecution. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Thank you, Jesus. Just to finish up with that, there's two things that are coming to mind. One, there will be, when Carly has a chance and Ash can help her, there's going to be more from Pastor Benjamin and Adriana back there with faces blurred about things that he saw, encountered, and felt, some things, okay, since we left. number one. And number two, I just want to say that I just remembered of a time when, I think it was 2 years ago, but we were in Mozambique, and we were in a church, and that church has undergone difficult times since that time. And Troy felt the earth was moving under his feet. There was a shifting. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And that the Lord was saying, I am here, and I am not going to tolerate what is unseen. And I am going to show up, and I am going to shift it. And it shifted, honestly. We prayed through that. We didn't know what was going on, but things started to unfold, and things have shifted. This is in southern Mozambique, for the glory of God. But Troy experienced maybe a small taste of that, but it's coming, and we're going to be feeling the ground literally shaking because the Lord's moving. Amen. Amen. Anything you wanted to say about that? I don't remember anything else in context. That's about it. Let me just say that after that, we heard about some things that were wicked and evil that were coming against the beautiful people. We heard about that. God involved us in that process, and we watched the Lord turn the tables and clear out the wickedness. But his power had to come. And so we really need to understand his power and his love. And we also need to understand what fear really is, which is our archenemy, and not call it something else. Because when we do, then we can stand on the word of God and watch him rumble. And he's rumbling. So if you haven't listened to the three messages when we were in India, listen to them, please, in order. That would be great. And the message also last week about no more fear of man. Listen to it. It'll set you free. It's part of God's process. First Friday, Andy, where are you? Is that what you left me a
message? So first Friday was awesome. There was a little bit of rain before it came, before we had it. Obviously, the night of worship got, I believe, canceled because of the potential weather. Is that correct? But we were still faithful and true. One of the things I love about being down there is we're one of the groups that no matter rain or shine, we're setting up, and I know that the people from First Friday appreciate it. And the thing that really, really encouraged me, like you guys heard me pray last Sunday about the Lord releasing a new wineskin, and that was declared out. And so there were so many new people down there at First Friday from this body that came out for the first time. Like Rebecca and Zach came, which was awesome. The whole clan over here came, and it was so encouraging, because I know it's intimidating to step out and draw pictures for people. Ashley came; she helped set up. It was just so many new people stepped in to just release the heart of the Lord. Aiden came down and he was drawing pictures. You know, Levi was back out with Troy, and it was just such an awesome time. And the nice thing was that we weren't necessarily overwhelmed with massive crowds of people because, you know, the weather had kind of, you know, put some of those away. But I want Rhonda to come up here really quick, because this is a really cool testimony of something that the Lord kind of did. So, yes. So you had never drawn before at the booth or anything, right?
No. No. I was encouraged by Emily after she was encouraged by Tanya, and it was amazing. I've never done it.
And so what was the cool thing that happened? I just love this story, so guys pay attention to this. What was the cool thing that happened?
The second person or the first person?
The second person.
The second person, there was this man, his name was Gary, I believe. He came up and he was talking to who was it he was talking to?
I think he was talking to Tiana and
Tiana and Ashley.
Yeah, because at the last, just a quick context, at the last First Friday when we did the treasure hunt, where God gave us a list of like people he wanted to touch that night, and he gave us descriptions. This young man, literally 3/4 of our list was him. Like after thing after thing after thing, literally one of the things was Burger King, and he was like, "That's funny, I ate Burger King today." Tiana and I laugh at this. One of the things that we got was Prince and Purple Rain. And we're like, how does that deal with anything? And one of the pictures in his art gallery show was like about Prince, and the name of it was Purple Rain. So God's really trying to get this guy's attention, and we see him every first Friday, and we're going to continue to do so. So this is the young man who came up that you were drawing for.
Yeah, and as he was standing there, Tanya goes, "Do you want your prophetic art done?" And he's like, "Oh yeah." And she goes, "Well, Rhonda, draw it." And I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh!" And I'm like, "Oh Lord, help me, help me!" And I look up and I see this big smiley face, you know, like Walmart has. And I'm thinking, "No." I'm thinking, and I'm like, "Lord, help me, help me!" So I see this road. And I draw this road, put lines in it for like a highway, and then I see a crooked road. So I draw a crooked road. And on the crooked road, I felt to put an unhappy face, like an angry face. And on the face below, I see a smiley face again. I'm thinking, all right, smiley face. And then the Lord gave me the scripture. I believe it was Matthew 11:8 or 8:11. It was... come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I put it on the top, looked up the scripture, and then I looked up at him and I said, okay, you ready? And he came and he sat down and I turned it around and I said, this is the road you're on that's very crooked. And I said, and you're unhappy. I said, but the Lord says if you come unto him, that he will give you rest. And I said, this road is a straight road. And I said, and it will make you happy. And he's like, wow, that's so true. And he goes, and the smiley face, he goes, you're not going to believe this. And he unbuttoned his shirt and he pulled his sleeves up and he's tattooed with how many
smiley faces? 18 to 19 smiley faces.
He's covered in smiley faces. I was like, wow. it was amazing. It was very amazing.
That, wow, that's awesome. So I love when the Lord does that, because it's something simple as you take a step of faith out, and I've seen it time and time again when somebody's new down there and they haven't done it before. The Lord loves to release these creative things to us, because I'm sure that next time you're down there, Rhonda, you're going to be more confident that you're hearing clearly from Him in the next picture that you draw. And to me, God loves to do those things to build up our confidence and faith and trust that we're hearing from Him. Because once we step out in that, it just begins to open up so many much more doors. And that you can literally stand before people and with confidence be like, no, I'm hearing from God for you. It's not something that's like, hey, maybe. No. And a lot of times that confidence comes across, whether they recognize it or not. You're basically being Jesus' representative, and you're not afraid of being His representative. And there's such a boldness. I mean, how many here want to increase in boldness? Okay, I see all your hands. So the next First Friday. But just to take that step out of faith, the Lord's going to meet you. And I just love testimonies like that. Not only that, because then that young man goes, and he knows that the Lord is continuing to pursue his heart. And so there were other people that stepped out as well for the first time when the Lord met them. You know, I know Rebecca was sharing that she was just, it so encouraged her heart. And so these opportunities are available. Let's take advantage of them and go from there.
And speaking of that, opportunities like that, I want to tell you one thing that happened with Janiel. He went to an all-night prayer meeting at Joe Kabeji's all-night prayer. Get this, this is like a 16-year-old kid. He wanted to pray all night at Joe Kabeji's university because some kids were getting, young people were getting together to pray all night. So he says, can I go? Can I go? Because he's so triggered by the Lord. And when he gets there was going to be some team worshiping. He just goes straight up to the front, lays hands on the guy, and starts praying for the worship leader. There was such boldness in him. And last week when he said to Inez, you know, I don't really want to do X, Y, and Z, whatever it was. And she said something like, talk to the Lord about that. So he just went, ugh. So, I mean, she didn't let it go. Like, whoops, I might offend him. So he looked at some book or Bible or something that he had that had a lion on it. And the Lord started speaking to his heart, and he started weeping before the Lord. The Lord would not let him get away with anything. He wasn't mad at him, but he started speaking to him as he looked at this, and he spoke and he told him, I am the Lion of Judah. Your life is in my hands. You've given me your life. Keep going. And he went to Inez, broken and crying, saying, this repentance is serious. So God is doing it. If we will repent of our thinking and our ways, the Lord is going to open up great new mighty ways. So thank you, Rebecca and others, for coming down to First Friday. Amen. Yeah, kids are released.
Kids are released.
Maybe my pass out. There's two to pass out to each person.
Yes.
Can I share a little testimony?
You have to come up here.
But I will submit.
I just wanted to share a testimony. Earlier, right before worship, we received a phone call from family, and our phones were all blowing up, that my brother was in emergency room down in Panama City. He is a brittle diabetic. He has an insulin pump. But he was in the emergency room for chest pain. He's younger than I am. And so my father was, you know, upset, and my mother, and so we just joined together, a few of us up here, and just, he goes like, you have to call him, Kim. It was right before worship, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? It was pretty much pray and then worship me. And so I, you know, texted him. I said, you know, God has this. We just prayed, you know, open arteries in Jesus' name. And then we worshiped. And I'll be honest with you, I was thinking of my brother a little bit during worship. I had to switch that and only think of Jesus. And I know sometimes we have those kind of struggles. But right when worship was over, I went out and called, and he's fine. His chest pain was only blood sugar related. There was nothing cardiac. Now, he does need to behave with his diabetes. In fact, he needs to be healed from his diabetes. So that's the next thing we'll pray for. But just that the Lord was so gracious and so faithful. In there's so much distance between us and my brother, and it's just him and his wife down there in Florida. And just for the sake of my father's heart and my mother, who are far away from their son. You know, the worry that I'm sure they were much more worried than I was and my sister, but God is faithful. And so his heart is good. And that's actually what we prayed for, his heart. And we should have prayed for his diabetes too. And so we are, but he's good. And so I really praise God for that it was one of those suddenlies, and I praise him for it. So I just wanted to give him glory. So.
Up to the minute news. If anything happens during the service, you know, just raise your hand. God's doing something. We want to hear about it. I don't mind being interrupted when it's God doing something. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. You're here. We're here. It's a match. We need you, and you want us close to you. So, Father, we release ourselves from anything that might have troubled us this week, anything that might have troubled us this morning, any burden, any problem, anything that we're facing. God, we just release that for this time to receive refreshing from your word. It's water.
water for us, Lord. It's bread. It feeds us, Lord. We pray that we'd receive from your Holy Spirit who wants to speak to us and he wants us to hear. We open up our spiritual ears. How do we do that? We just are still and let you be God in us. Father, we open up our spiritual eyes. How do we do that? We just be still and receive from you and let you do it in us. Father, no trepidation, no fear. We're not going to act like it will not happen because it's not happened in the past that we have an encounter with you. Lord, we can have it right now, this morning. You're willing. Are we willing? We open ourselves up to an experience with the Holy Spirit, an encounter with the living God this morning, Father, and that it would carry from this place forth, that it would carry throughout our week. This wouldn't be the time that we're the closest to you. It might be in our car. It might be in our prayer closet. It might be while we're in the Word. It might be while we're ministering to someone. We don't know where you'll want to encounter us the most. But we open ourselves up to that, God, today as individuals and as the body of Christ meeting part of it today here. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have a quote today. It should appear on that wall. Look at that. I know you're impressed. If you hear and follow Holy Spirit, yeah, I did get the out of there. Bad habits. If you hear and follow Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, he's a person, you will have encounters with the living God. That's kind of important. We've heard a lot about encounter this morning. I spoke on encounter not too long ago. There have been more and more talk about encounter with God. I go to a strategy group with pastors every 2 weeks, and we start out with the Word of God, the Logos, and we end up with the Rhema. Well, we need to teach our people about these things out of the Bible, but they can be very dry and not filled with power unless the Spirit brings an encounter to people. Think of all the people in the Bible. Moses, his encounter with God in the mountain, and his encounter in the tent with Joshua and Caleb. He wanted encounter. He went for it. But he didn't start out that way. God encountered him when he was on the back of a desert. He needed that. He needed God to show up and encounter him first. He wasn't even thinking about it. And a burning bush showed up. And eventually he ends up on the mountain of God having incredible encounters and having such a closeness to God. Incredible. So whether God just brings an encounter to us because he wants us to have that and wants to give us some extra direction and so on, or whether we're seeking encounter and he brings it to us, both are going to happen in our lives as we follow the Holy Spirit. So those of us that aren't necessarily having those encounters, what's your mandate? Start following the Holy Spirit rather than what's screaming inside of us. The flesh, the world is screaming around us, trying to fill our ears. The enemy is trying to scream into our ear. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, sometimes very quietly. Are you listening? I'm ready to speak to you. I'm ready to have you encounter me. Now, again, I spoke on this just a few weeks ago. I think I passed this particular thing out, but there's something going on. I started out in John 14 saying, I want to teach this chapter. And then I went on to John 17. I want to teach this chapter. And I didn't hear the resounding go for it from God. I thought I need to teach the Word this week. Let's do John 14. There's so much good, rich stuff in there. Let's do John 17. All right, what about John 15? I ended up reading through those chapters again and realizing Jesus gave those at the Last Supper. All of that rich stuff at the Last Supper. He released that into his disciples. Absolutely awesome stuff. And I thought, I want to release that to the beautiful people at Frontline. And I didn't hear the Lord go, yeah, go. I was like, why not? And I kept hearing encounter. But Lord, it wasn't that long ago I spoke of encounter. But what's the word you've been hearing over and over and over again? What did we hear this morning from Brazil, from First Friday? Encounter. Did I set that up? No, I didn't know they were going to share on those things. The Lord is intentional on these messages that you're hearing from people. Not just from me, from the others that come up here. And if we value it, if we take the time to go to the podcast or we take the time to go over something like this, you probably look at this and say, oh no, he's going to go through all those verses. It'll take till 3 o'clock. Well, you don't know what I'll do. I just might. But actually, I'm not going to do that. This is for you to study the Holy Spirit. This is for you. This is some of the good stuff. This was presented to a strategy group. And they started to look at it and started to look at the scriptures, and they had their own. They brought what they were offering to the group this past week. And we still ended up with encounter that's going to energize all of this. Why? Because encounter makes the Bible come alive. What is needed in our time? The Bible coming alive. Not just the Bible. The Bible's been around. It's here. People ignore it. They need it. I need it. You need it. But what makes it come alive? Encountering the living God. And then the words mean something. Then the Bible means something to people. So don't go around apologizing. Well, I don't know if this is really, I don't know. Rhonda knows. God made it clear with a guy's arm. You're hearing from God. Look at this. Tattoos. It's going to be there a while. Smiley face. You think that's silly? You've heard from God. Who hasn't been in that position of wondering? I get things from God, and I say, okay, I want you to repeat it. If it's from you, please repeat it, because I don't trust me. You been there? I don't trust me. I don't trust the fact that, you know, whether I'm going to hear the signal or not. I can get off. I can get into the static along with anybody else. I want to be on the station. I want to hear the accurate things from God. How about you? But we can't fear that we can't hear from God. We can't fear that it's not from Him. And so He helps us conquer that fear. He just shows us a guy's arm. Look, you are hearing from me. He just repeats it to me. And He's nice enough to do it like 25 times. Now, it could be, you know, I could look at that while I'm doubting God. But it's like the guy, you know, I believe, help my unbelief. If we're honest with God, He's very gracious towards us. Very gracious. He wants us to hear. He wants us to encounter Him. He wants the Holy Spirit to come alive, not be on a page of verses. This is for you to study on your own. Study the Holy Spirit. Find out how close He wants to be with you. How close He wants to be with me. I was totally excited about this because the topic that the strategy group was going to go over was Holy Spirit. I said, okay, I know Holy Spirit. Wow, I started studying and I found out so many cool things that I'd forgotten about Holy Spirit. Maybe that'll happen to you. You have a time of fire and incense this week. You know, let the Word of God burn in you. Let the Holy Spirit come alive to you. Maybe spend some of that time this week, whether you're here at home or wherever, finding out more about Holy Spirit. If we say we want to hear from Him, we should know Him pretty well. We should find out what the Bible says about Him, how He moved in the Bible. You know, so many people had angels show up and give them, God's Word. Do you know that that's from God, not from the angel? They were sent. So that word that they received, like Zacharias, like Mary, like the shepherds, so many people in the New Testament had encounters with angels. But the angels themselves were just basically saying, I was sent to bring you this message. Don't start, thinking that I'm somebody special. I'm just a messenger bringing you God's word, bringing you the beginning of an encounter, because often God speaks and then there's an encounter that follows. We'll go over a couple of those instances. Just really exciting. He speaks, then he follows it with an encounter. But so many of them heard from angels. And then with others, they started to hear God directly. You know, Jesus did at his baptism, just heard directly from his Father. But there were others that heard directly from God. We'll go over a little bit of that. And that was cool. Wow, God's speaking from heaven to me, or this voice just starts to speak to them. And they're like, wow. But let me tell you something. You live in an age where the Holy Spirit speaks from within. He dwells within. He's inside of you. The kingdom of God is within you. He speaks from the inside out now. You don't have to hear or see some angel come, give you a message, and you go, oh, I see the angel. I hear his voice. He's inside. Jesus is inside. He speaks to us on the inside. It's a reminder. I know you know that. I want you to experience that more. I want that to be your encounter with him more. Realizing the voice is not out here somewhere, but it's inside. And it confirms this every time. And so you have the Logos, you have the Rhema of the Holy Spirit inside speaking to you, you have it all. So when people are having struggles with the difficulties of life, they do have everything they need for life and godliness. That is a true scripture. You have everything you need, no matter what the difficulty is. Jesus is bigger. Jesus is greater. Jesus is more powerful. And his encounters with him can change everything. A word from the Lord, as you've heard, can change everything. So you say, well, I need more money. Our family doesn't have enough money. An encounter with the Lord can change that. More than, oh, I get a little bit more on my paycheck, or, gee, I get this a little bit extra that comes in from some unknown source. That's great. You'll give praise to God and so on. But the encounter can give you the encouragement that he will always take care of you. He will always come in when you're at, your last dime, and he'll come in and bring in what you need. That will be what convinces you, actually encountering Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Kind of important. So go over this testimony of encounter, not because it happened to me, but because you know me, and you know I wouldn't lie to you. And these things are important, and they're going to happen to you if they haven't. And if they have, they will happen more, and they'll be more accurate. Some people have encounters, but the enemy gets in there and messes them up. They become inaccurate. That's why it needs to be checked with the Bible, with others that have walked with God for, a number of decades. It helps to check out some things with them. Well, you get it wrong. You're a little bit off. It's just an adjustment. Remember Priscilla and Aquila in Acts? They didn't have it all right. They didn't have it figured out, but they were out there ministering, and then someone came along and said, there's more to the story. There's more good stuff. And they were like, awesome. Well, they probably didn't use that word, but you could just see, like, their faces were like, there's more. I'm here this morning to tell you, there's more. So cool. So great. Don't level out. There's more. There's more in worship. There's more in encounter. There's more from the Word of God. You've gone over some of these scriptures about Holy Spirit. There's more about Him. Here for you. Here for you. This morning. And ongoing. So let's go to the very end. Look at that. This is how you get get through something fast. You go to the very end. Number 11. Under what is my relationship with Holy Spirit? Number 11. Since He teaches, convicts, guides into all truth, discloses what is to come, leads, testifies, and glorifies Jesus, I can hear His voice. That'd be a good thing to just to declare out. You know, read that over this week during fire and incense. Since He teaches, convicts, guides into all truth, discloses what is to come, leads, testifies, and glorifies Jesus, I can hear His voice. So I need some people to volunteer and take these scriptures and read them out with authority, as if you had my big booming voice, whether you do or not. It has to sound like me. John 10:27, who would read that? Okay, we have Peter. Acts 8:26-29, who will read that out? Zach. Acts 9:4-6, who will read that out? Ashley. Acts 9:10-16. Okay. Acts 10:13-16. Uh-oh, we're slowing down. There we go. Acts 22:1-21. Uh-oh. Long one. That's a girl. Acts 26:1-20. Okay? And we're not going to read through the book of Revelation. But we will do, which one did I stop at? Jamie also do 17-21 in Acts 22. Acts 26:14-18. Cynthia. Okay. John 10:27.
You can run that to the next person. Yeah. Oh, sounds good.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage.
He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
Ten through sixteen. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is chosen. He is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.
Acts 10, 13, and all those other verses.
And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again.
19 and 20. I thought that was it. Okay. 3:16. All right. Did I give out Acts 10:19 and 20? Okay.
While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.
In Acts 22.
I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, the one who you are persecuting. The people with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice speaking to me. I asked, What should I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told everything you are to do. After I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple and fell into a trance. I saw a vision of Jesus saying to me, Hurry, leave Jerusalem, for the people here won't accept your testimony about me. But Lord, I argued, they certainly know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you, and I was in complete argument when your witness, Stephen, was killed. I stood by and kept the coats when they took off. They took off when they were stoned, but the Lord said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.
Acts 26.
It's 1 to 20, right?
It was 14 to 18. Sorry, I skipped down.
So 14 through 18? And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
So those passages about the Lord speaking directly to these people. If you go to number 12 now, there are the complete encounters that happen because of the speaking these things into these individuals. What's cool about this is that with Paul, his
encounter intersected with, was it Ananias? His encounter. And those two intersected with Peter. His encounter intersected with the encounter of Cornelius. So that God got done what he wanted to get done. Sometimes he will give an encounter to one person in the body of Christ. You're going to intersect with another person in the body of Christ, and the will of God will be done. That's one reason why we have to be one, which is what the message of John 17 is. We are supposed to be closer than maybe we've ever been before in order to have these encounters intersect very easily. But the body of Christ seems to be kind of scattering in some senses in some parts of the world, especially the States. You know, the reports about people just not even going to church anymore. Reports about denominations dying. There are churches in this county that right now are considering whether to move out of their building because they don't have enough people to handle the heating bills, for instance. Things like that. The body of Christ is, the enemy wants to convince us that we, you know, that God isn't big enough any longer. And so why should we connect with one another, even though there's calls for unity in this county? Many calls for unity. We call people to come in for fire and incense every year. Very few people from other places take advantage of that. But God is here. He shows up. And there are some things that they host that sometimes we go to, sometimes we're able to go to those, and he's there. But a lot of others aren't. We need to get closer as the body of Christ, but it starts with this small piece of the body of Christ. If you've been kind of splintering off and thinking, well, I'll kind of do my own deal, and I don't think you're listening to the Holy Spirit. We have to get closer in this time. And it's really cool that National Day of Prayer, so many people went down to pray or to read the scripture in the middle of the night. Last night we had people covering time from midnight to 6, you know, that we're coming together to pray. This week is about bringing the body of Christ to pray together for frontline, you know, leading that. Doesn't mean that we're the only game in town. It's just we're offering that and we have benefited from it. And we're giving testimony of it across the body of Christ. There's got to come a day when we all draw together and the encounters intersect more. That's when things are really going to start popping and revival is going to come from that. So number 11 are short portions of most of the passages in number 12. The one that nothing was read on is the first one, Acts 6, 54 through 60 under number 12. Acts 6, 54 through 60. You'll recognize this one right away. I get this right. Oh, I guess you can't read Acts if you're in John 6. That doesn't work. And there is no 54 through 60. That's interesting. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm still with it. Okay, it's actually 7. Misprint. 7, 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charged them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, God didn't speak to Stephen in this case, but Stephen had an encounter where he was speaking to God. Sometimes we have an encounter, we're the ones speaking out to God, and he's hearing that prayer or he's hearing that cry. Other times God speaks to us and it starts an encounter. Other times it's an encounter of someone else that we have an encounter and they intersect. But the thing is, it's all about encountering God. And we need more of it in these days. How do we make it happen? We have to come close to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives those encounters. That's what I want to see for this body. We've had many people give testimonies of encounters. In fact, we have long services, primarily because we give room for testimonies and we give room for worship to the point that people can actually encounter God in those areas. The testimonies from Brazil are not just so we can say something's going on in Brazil. It's so that you will have your appetite wet to have encounters with God and to join those in Brazil in one heart. And what if there's an intersection between the encounters there and the encounters here? And you're the one that God has chosen to be that person from here to intersect with a heart in Brazil. Why not choose you? He chose a young girl named Mary, had an angel come and speak to her, and it changed the entire course of history. A young girl, probably teenage, least likely suspect. So why not you? What if it's you? Are you depending on others that have had encounters before or that come up and boldly tell about their encounters? Maybe God will choose you in a quiet moment to have an encounter that changes some course of the revival that's to come. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Stephen was waiting tables. But he was so filled with the Holy Spirit, they said, oh, we've got to release you. And they released him to go out and preach. And he preached so much, he got in trouble. And when he got in trouble, he had such an encounter that I don't think he felt those stones. He was so filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know this is even happening today with Pastor Benjamin in India, that you don't feel the blows. And so Pastor Mary Pat's message about fear of God rather than fear of man as part of her message last week, that's apropos, isn't it? We face that every day. Will we give a testimony of Jesus? Will we tell someone that we've had a healing in our life and when they need a healing? Will we tell someone we've had an encounter with God when they need one? Sure we will. We're going to step up. We're going to be different. It's about change, isn't it? Tomorrow I'm supposed to give a devotional at Men's Challenge, all these names, all these groups. And what they try to do is help people by giving them teaching on how to go about getting a job after they've run into some difficulty in life. Maybe they've been in jail, maybe they've just had a rough go of it, maybe they were on drugs and they've gone through a program to help them on that, get off of that. There could be various reasons why they're in the class, but it's an 8-week course on how to go about getting a job. Some of us, we've gone through that process, we think, oh man, I could have used that. And when I'm in the class, I'm like, gee, I could have used that when I was going after jobs. Some of the things that they share are really cool. But they let them know we're all about Jesus. They don't back off from it. They don't say, well, a little bit of Jesus and a lot of job training. They say a lot of Jesus and here's the job training. You put the two together, you'll end up in a better place. And so they, have asked me several times to come in. Tomorrow, I want to just tell them how big Jesus is in the area of life. He's life itself. I shared some of this at National Day of Prayer. He's too big a life for us to have problems going on that continue in our lives. He's the life that solves all those issues in life. He's just too big. He's abundant life. He's eternal life. He brings changed lives. He's the resurrection and the life. Now, imagine these people. They're right in front of me when I say these things. They look at me like I'm some kind of a alien. But it's so fun for me to feel like I'm an alien. I'm from a different planet. That planet is called heaven. I want to live there and come here and give out life, life, life. Who is Jesus? Not my own life, my changed life because of Jesus. The eternal life he's given to me. The abundant life he's giving me. Despite challenges, despite setbacks, despite trials and tribulations. Jesus is just too much life for us. And that's so awesome. Life and life abundant. Or so much life, it's more than abundant life. Basically, John 10:10 says. And I'm just going to say that to them. I can't wait. And not to, you know, blow them over. I'll probably say it a little quieter. But it's they've not heard that message from the church. They've not heard that from our lips enough. People are thinking Jesus is limited in their life. He's small in their life. He's not that caring about their life. It's all lies from the enemy. And how do I know that? Because he's been willing to encounter me. And he's encountered you. Well, what do you mean? I haven't had these things like have been said here. You had an experience of salvation. So you have had an encounter with the living God. When you came to know Jesus, when you invited him to come into your life and live, that was an encounter, a powerful encounter that begins a series of other encounters with him. If that has been somehow interrupted, or you don't think, you know, that there's encounters to come, you're not deserving of an encounter. You're not a good enough child following Jesus to have encounters. You're not humble enough to have an encounter. Moses wasn't even expecting an encounter. But God had something so big for his life. And he wanted to get to the mountain with Moses. To show him his glory. To have his face shine. He throws a bush out in the middle of the desert. When Moses isn't even thinking about it. And it is on fire. And it won't go out. The bush won't burn. Have we forgotten that with that childlikeness in us, when we heard those stories in Sunday school or somewhere along the line, have we gotten numb to those things? Because he wants to bring the same kind of thing to you. A unique encounter. One that the world has not seen before, inside of you. Inside of you. So you can testify that he's real for people. He's so much life, they can't handle it. He's going to bowl them over with how much life he has for them. Well, he has to first bowl us over, doesn't he? He has to convince us that Jesus is that much life. And when he does, the world changes. Because it multiplies from our little seed of encounter. It multiplies in so many other encounters for people. So I expect tomorrow morning, these people that show up for this class are going to get a whole lot more than they thought. That Jesus is going to meet them right there in that classroom. He's going to show them, you just missed something very important in life. Jesus is life. Jesus, an encounter with him, can be so real it changes your destiny. And happy to have that opportunity. And you will have opportunities more and more and more. And there are those out there ministering in various avenues, but they're not telling about the powerful life of Jesus as much as they should. And release it. Release it in healing. Release it in deliverance. Release it in salvation. Release it in truth. Jesus is the answer to people's problems, not a program. We can't back off of that ever, no matter whether it's received or not. It's Jesus, the powerful one who will encounter us. So, Father, we thank you, God. It's all about you and having experiences with you and having what troubles us turn into joy. Jesus. Jesus. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. John 16:11. Fullness of joy. So crazy. Old Testament, New Testament. You don't want us to have a measure of joy, a little bit of joy, a little bit of life. You want us to have full joy, fullness of joy, fullness of encounter with you, Lord. Holy Spirit to the max, not the minimum. Jesus, we open up ourselves to that. We know that you used to speak a lot from angels, and you might do that in this season just to mix things up, just to send the messengers out so they're not sitting around in heaven. But God, most of all, you want to speak out of the kingdom of God inside of us, the Holy Spirit dunamis power inside of us, and change us and give us abundant life, eternal life, as if it were heaven coming to earth right now that eternal life starts. Yes, God, we receive it, we desire it, we open ourselves to it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, make it true in each of our lives. And Father, it's my prayer this morning, you will surprise some people here. You will surprise them with an encounter. God, go ahead. Middle of the night, while they're driving. Some of the least likely suspects here, Father. That's what you like to do. You gave an encounter to a boy in Michigan so far up there in the woods. There was so little Jesus everywhere around him, it didn't matter. You brought a voice into the wilderness, spoke life into me, God. And you found me up there in the Michigan woods. Incredible. You found Moses in the desert. You saw Daniel and his faithfulness in coming before you. And you gave him an encounter that he shook, fell to the ground as if he was dead. God, you're all about encounter with you. It's what changes us. It's what brings your Bible alive, it brings your love letter alive to us. We open ourselves to that this morning in a fresh new way. We don't seek the encounter as much as we seek you, and you bring the encounter. But God, we're open and we desire experiences with you, encounters with you. Speak to us. Speak to us from the inside out. Speak to us from the Word of God in new and fresh ways. If the book has become moldy, oldy to us, God, make it fresh and new bread to us and water. God, we need your energizing inside of us through Holy Spirit. We receive it from your hand. We receive it from your heart to us. You want us to come close to you. And you will draw us. But we need to come. We need to draw near to you so you'll draw near to us. It works both ways. Thank you, Jesus. You're all over it for every person here. And you're going to turn them upside down like you did the disciples in Acts. But we're not going back there. That was the baby church. We're going forward into whatever this next season has. And it's got to be crazy. Kids in Brazil getting turned upside down with Encounter. People in northern India being turned upside down with encounters of you. Sikhs, priests included, being turned inside out and upside down that they want to go out and risk their lives to share the gospel. God, you're on the move. We love it. We enter into it with a full heart. And God, we come before you this week in prayer and encounter with you, God. We open ourselves up to that, that we could be praying here or at home, God, this week, and suddenly, phew, the Holy Spirit comes with fire in a whole new way to our lives. Let us be expectant. Give us that humble heart. Let us open up ourselves that you search us to see what you will find, and then we will repent for refreshing. We'll repent to do the works of repentance. We're open, God. Here we are. Jesus, you're all over this for us. Thank you, God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I asked Andy if he would briefly give us an update on Israel, especially starting Fire and Incense Week. And I don't think anything's written specifically about this yet. So we can put something, maybe you can do that, Andy, back on our table for praying for Israel. So if Andy could give us an update.
Really quickly, if you guys have seen it in the news, it necessarily isn't major, major news. But since early Saturday morning in the Gaza Strip in Israel, they've to date fired to right now this morning, probably Islamic militants and Hamas have fired over 600 rockets into Israel. And they're just indiscriminately firing them to target civilians. They're not aiming towards military installations. They're just shooting rockets to spread fear and terror and chaos. And the Israeli government is responding by shooting rockets back into Gaza. And yes, there's... Now, as you see, what's here is happening is not only are like Gazans shooting or Palestinians shooting rockets into Israel. Israel has a whole missile defense system, which is really amazing, called the Iron Dome. So literally they have a defense that when they, Israel's army, can send rockets to stop other rockets from landing. So when Palestinians shoot it up, but still, those can still, though, they still have gotten through. The Iron Dome doesn't necessarily protect all of it. And so really quickly, I was asking the Lord, what do you want to say with all of this? Let this be a prophetic picture as we lift up and pray for Israel, the attacks that the enemy is throwing. We are that Iron Dome. We're those rockets that are being sent out to stop the enemy coming in and stirring up all kinds of stuff in this whole area. So just let that be a prophetic picture to you that when we, especially in this 24/7 week of prayer, I just encourage you guys to lift up Israel, pray for their safety, pray for their protection, because this is something that the whole international community is going to be looking at. You know, and it's continually, you know, Israel has a right to defend themselves. And you can see some of the, right there, it's talking about, like, literally, there's rockets getting intercepted by other rockets, which is really an amazing thing. But we still need to pray for their protection and safety and wisdom for the leaders in that whole world. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, right now, Father, we lift up to you the nation of Israel, Father, your chosen people. And, Lord, we thank you that you have made promises to your people, Lord, that you will give that land to them, Father, fully in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, for your safety and your protection, Father, right now over Israel, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Father, for wisdom militarily, Father. Father, for the Israelis, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, Father, for the Palestinians, Lord, where innocent civilians, Lord, are getting caught up in this mix. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Father, for their safety and protection as well. And Lord, we pray, Father, for an exposing, Lord, of what is going on behind the scenes, Father, and that it would be called out. out. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we release your grace and safety, your mercy, and Father, in forgiveness. And Lord, that in these times of fear, Father, that people on both sides, Father, would turn their hearts to you, Jesus, and that you would step in and move in such a powerful way, Lord. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And Lord, we see ourselves, Lord, as that iron dome, Lord, as those rockets being sent out, Lord, to thwart the tactics and plans of the enemy, Father, in Jesus' name and the Spirit. So Lord, we thank you, Father, for equipping each person here in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can write something up. I don't know if Carly wanted to mention anything about encouraging people to sign up. I had mentioned something earlier. Or you had sent an email out or text or something. Or whatever.
So, you all should have gotten the general email about fire and incense. We sent that out to all of our mailing lists. And then I also sent individual texts to a number of you asking you specifically to sign up for those midnight to 6 a.m. hours. So if you did not get that text and you would like the link to that spreadsheet, just let me know and I can send that to you as well. And we do also have, we have a table for, as Pastor Mary Pat mentioned, for the younger kids, and which Ashley set up. And she also set up a table for some older youth as well. So something, there's something for all ages to engage with, so.
One last thing, there's been a lot of trauma, as you know, in Mozambique with the cyclone that hit the middle area six weeks ago, and then one that hit a couple of weeks ago up in just north of Pemba, about 100 miles north of Pemba. And so if you go to, I hope on Frontline's Facebook, if not mine for sure, there's a lot of up-to-date stuff dealing with what's going on there, and we've been in very close contact with Pastor Jose and texting Heidi and such. So things are happening. There's a lot of movement. People are coming to know Jesus, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of suffering, and the extent that we'll be involved in that when we go in July is already being talked about and thought about. So anyone on the team who has any question about that, you can come and talk to me today because I've had conversations with Pastor Jose. So Father, we just lift up Mozambique. Father, we're touched by what you have already spoken into us and by the picture that Inez saw with your tear just coming from heaven over that beautiful country. So we're asking, Father, for your intervention to continue. We're asking for boots on the ground. We're asking for spiritual intercessors here. We're asking for those to financially donate, to contribute, so that we can see things actually happen immediately, so immediate needs are taken care of, as well as spiritual needs that circumvent everything else. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We're asking, Father, that those who have been caught in the midst of this, Lord, that have entertained or have had fear exaggerated or exacerbated even more in their lives, that they would be brought to a place of encounter with you, that the spirit of the fear of the Lord, of love, would touch them, that they would know that you are their only hope, that their hope and their sustenance and everything is found in you. You are the rescuer. You are the restorer. You are the one who brings a total turnaround. So let it be for our beloved Mozambican family and friends and those who are there right now, and for all eyes and ears to know what you're saying and doing about Mozambique around the world, that we would not put our own spin on and that we would not stand away from what is difficult to understand at times, but that we would seek your face and say, Lord, how do I respond so I can be used? My response can be used to set people free, and I can step into more of what you're calling me to do. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's that set up back there somewhere dealing with Mozambique. So God bless you guys. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.